every Wednesday. We like to chat a little thing called Dictionary of Sydney. I absolutely love it. It's a bit of a look at sort of, can we call it some of the secret history of Sydney or the lesser known history of Sydney?
Yeah, well, we try and kind of pick topics that people might not have heard about.
And we're certainly doing that now. Historian Nicole Carmer, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Now, you've got us a NAIDOC-themed little chat today, and I'm quite excited about that too.
Well, it's exciting when that comes around every year, you know, and it's all about celebrating Aboriginal culture and history. And so it makes sense to delve into the dictionary and find some topics that, you know, would be relevant to the theme. And you know, I think recently the Dictionary of Sydney published a couple of new articles by historian Keith Vincent Smith, and he's like an expert in this kind of area.
Well, this is great because, I mean, I think, you know, for a lot of Sydneysiders, of course we've heard of Bennelong.
Yes.
Well, you could not hear of Bennelong.
Yeah.
But you've got some people sort of related to him or adjunct to him.
Yeah. So Bennelong's sister. So, of course, you know, Bennelong was the famous kind of Aboriginal Eora man who was captured by Governor Arthur Phillip and went to England and came back and taught the British a lot about Aboriginal culture and language. But Bennelong's sister was Karangarang. And she was born in about 1771 in the Wongal clan on the south shore of the Parramatta River. And the first written record of her described her as pretty. So it was unfortunately, a lot of, you know, these first-hand accounts that we get are from the British people.
Yes.
So we have to keep that in mind whenever we kind of read about it. So,
yes, we do.
Yeah. And, you know, Lieutenant David Collins was another person who wrote about her, and he said her name meant the sea. But there was another interpretation of her name to mean pelican.
I can imagine it could mean both.
Yeah. Maybe it's both, depending on what usage. But he also observed what he called a family party on Bennelong Point. So right where the Opera House now stands, obviously it wasn't there at the time,
the
early settlement days. And, you know, there was Bennelong was there, and Bennelong and his wife, and Karangarang, who was breastfeeding her child while Bennelong kind of got the fish haul and was cleaning the fish and cooking it on a fire. So you can just kind of, I'm trying to picture it happening without all the buildings, and it's just kind of a really interesting account.
That is amazing.
Account.
And I love that kind of, you know, those written records just describing what you can barely imagine these days.
Yeah, exactly. Because it would just have looked completely different. Mm. And also to the British people, when they kind of made those observations, they were describing what they saw. And you've got to wonder how much of that was them interpreting what they saw, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was another account of her where she was in a boat in Sydney Harbour and it capsized. And she had her two children with her, and she quickly put them on her shoulders and swam ashore to safety. So she was kind of like...
That was amazing. And that was actually seen.
Yes. So that was all witnessed.
Wow.
And you know, again, these are all kind of written records. And, you know, so you think of what that kind of filtering process that must have gone through. But that was an interesting account because it's an insight into her character and also what her life may have been like.
An incredible one.
Yeah. And later in life, there were descriptions of her walking along Parramatta River in a kind of opossum cloak, and also with carrying a net bag over her shoulders and her hair decorated with eel bones.
Eel bones?
And so the reason for that was because at that time, later in life, she was the wife of the chief of the Burramattagal clan. And that's where the word Parramatta comes from, Burramattagal. So that they're the people of Parramatta. And their totem was the eel.
Yes.
So, you know, that's why we think
it still
Parramatta
is.
Eels, yeah. All that kind of thing. So that's why she had those bones in her hair. But there's also another character that Keith Vincent Smith writes about, which I thought was really interesting, was Willemering, who was a doctor or clever man. Now, people might think
clever man.
It's a really interesting kind of role in the Aboriginal clan. And it's something that has been disputed, and there's a lot of mystery surrounding what exactly that role was. And Smith kind of notes that, you know, although they healed wounds, they were also sorcerers with sacred knowledge who could make rain, kill by chanting, conduct inquests and take part in revenge expeditions. So really fascinating characters.
Law keepers and law givers.
Yeah. And obviously with sacred knowledge connected to the dreaming. And that's where you've got, you know, shows like Clever Man that's just come out on ABC is connected to that. Now, during a famous encounter in September 1790 with the British, Willemering threw a spear at Governor Philip. Ah. And so this was actually written down by David Collins, yet again another kind of noted diarist. And he said that Willemering lifted a spear from the grass with his foot and, fixing it on his throwing stick, in an instant darted it at the governor. And then the spear entered a little above the collarbone and had been discharged with such a force that the barb of it came out through the other side.
So oh, wow.
It would have been a really dramatic kind of moment.
It would have been incredible.
And, you know, there was some confusion, I think, among the British as to who exactly kind of threw the spear, because there were a few in the party. But Bennelong later claimed that he beat Willemering for his aggression that he showed towards the governor. And so it's just, again, another amazing insight into what those first few years of settlement must have been like. But also just after another, and this is the last account of Willemering, after Bennelong's wife, Barangaroo, another kind of name
another
that people
well-known were, name, yes.
Unfortunately for other reasons, died and was cremated in 1791. And Bennelong clashed with Willemering yet again because he apparently hadn't kind of come quickly enough to treat Barangaroo. And so that's the last kind of known record we have of Willemering. So, I mean, again, it speaks to that. We need to remember that these are first-hand accounts by British people.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's important to really look at the oral traditions as well that are passed down the generations. And that's why NAIDOC Week is such a great opportunity to learn about culture and language and history.
And about some of these fascinating historical figures that we just don't know enough about.
That's right.
Now, where can people find a little bit more Dictionary of Sydney?
Dictionaryofsydney.org.
Oh, fantastic. Nicole, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
All right. I absolutely love this segment every week. I'm looking forward to it next week.